2 Peter 2 and verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now this is Peter's description given through the Spirit of God of false teachers. The Lord is using metaphors throughout the Scriptures that we can understand, and one of those metaphors is water. Water. And that's what's being used right here. In a dry, hot, desert land where there is no water, water means life. Water means life to a thirsty, weary man. And a cloud is the same metaphor. When you need your crops rained on and you need a shower and you see a cloud coming, you know, you depend upon that rain coming. And this word, this water is used throughout the Scriptures to be a metaphor, a picture of spiritual life, of grace given to a regenerated child of God by Christ through the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt, he said this, "The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills." Now, if you're thirsty and you're in a desert, that sounds good, doesn't it? And that's to show us something of how the gospel appeals, and the gospel is a good news to a believer. Later on, when he delivered them out of the hand of Assyria, he said he would deliver them out of the hand of the Assyrian, out of the hand of their enemies that had them captive. He said, "In that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I'll praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy," he said, "shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." You get the picture here? So in our text, you have here Peter describing false teachers, and he's saying, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. So you get the picture here now of a thirsty sinner coming to a well. He comes to one of these false teachers, and he's longing to have a good, cold drink of water. He's wanting to hear the gospel. He's wanting to hear the gospel of the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ. And he comes to this well, but instead of the false teacher being a well of water, it turns out to be just dry sand, just an empty well. Or he's like a cloud. You see a cloud on the horizon, and you think, oh, that's fixing to come and just water these fields and just be a blessing to me. And that false teacher is carried away with a tempest. When the winds of change come along, and they do, just give it a little time. And when the winds of change come along and a new doctrine becomes popular, they're carried away with a whirlwind. Or persecution arises because of the word. They're carried away by a tempest, by a whirlwind, by a wind, just like a cloud carried away. Now, just think about how opposite the believer is to those that are described here. False teachers and unbelievers, the unregenerate, are wells without water. But those born of the Spirit of God are wells filled with water. Filled with water. Proverbs 10:11 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life." He says, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook." Then look again at it. Those without Christ are described here as clouds that are carried with a tempest. But you know, when Christ ascended and he gave his messengers, he said he gave them that we henceforth be no children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, carried about with that whirlwind of doctrine. That's the believer. And then the false teachers here described as those to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. You know how believers described, the elect of God are described? Those that have been called to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God unto faith, through faith, and ready to be revealed in the last time. That's a big contrast, isn't it, between an unregenerate, lost man and a believer. So what I want to do this morning is, instead of focusing our attention on the false teacher, let's focus on how these wells and these clouds full of water are a picture of God's messengers and a picture of the believer. Let's look at that. Every believer, this is what I want you to get, every believer is an earthen vessel. Just like a well or just like a cloud, an earthen vessel. Like and filled with Christ who is our life. He's the water. We're filled with Christ our life, His Spirit. And that's the water within these wells. That's what we're going to talk about. We don't have in us any water by nature. We don't have this water by nature. You know, a well, you got a well that's dug. You picture a well that's dug down. That well's not producing any water, really. That water's coming from a hidden source, that from a spring, a fountain spring that's filling it with water. Well, that man that's showered by a cloud, he's getting that rain from above. It's coming down from another source to him. Well, every man that's born into this world, as we're born into it, we're wells without water. We're just as like the description of a false teacher or a false somebody that doesn't believe. We're wells without water and clouds without rain as we're born in this world. Now, there's many who think, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get my education or go out and get my job, my career, whatever, and that's where I'm going to get this water. I'm going to get satisfied. I'll have my thirst quenched then when I've accomplished that. And you do it. It's good to do. You go through, you get it, but you find then my thirst is not quenched. It didn't give me life like I thought it would. Well, you go along and you say, well, I'll get married and have kids and get a house and get all the stuff that goes along with that. You get that and you think, well, I'm going to be satisfied now. My thirst is going to be quenched. And no life. Still no life. Got life all around you, but still no life in here. There's no water. There's no life. And some think, well, I'll make it when I finally retire. I'm going to fish. I'm going to move to a sunny place. I'm going to just enjoy my golden years. And your health goes down and you have to spend all your savings on to provide for you physically and all that stuff. And you still find out, I don't have any water. It's not life. There's no life in it. No life at all. Just a dry well. A man might have a lot. You might acquire a lot of stuff in this life. You know, we had an old well at my house where my parents lived. Now, I can remember years ago, it was an ugly old thing. It was just an old cement thing sticking up out of the ground. I can remember my mom trying to adorn that thing. I remember her trying to, you know, put flowers around it, make it look nice, you know, and all that. Well, you could have a nice well house around a well. You could have the best well pump money can buy, and you can have the best a golden bucket to drop down in it and get water out of it. If there ain't no water in it, it don't do any good. It's a dry well. So you can have a lot of stuff outwardly and look like you've got a lot, and that well just be dry as it can be on the inside. So this water of life we need, that's the Holy Spirit. We need Christ formed in us. We need His gospel. And without water, what good's a well? What good is it? It needs to be capped off and sealed off so that it doesn't disappoint somebody that's trying to come to it and expect water from it, or keep some stranger from passing by from falling into that. It's no good for anything, a dry well. Well, that's what we are by nature. You're a parched place in the wilderness, a salt land not inhabited. That's what we are. That's the description of everybody born into this world. And even if the gospel comes to us, even if God sends the gospel like He did with Moses, He sent the gospel to those children of Israel and brought them out of Israel. And they walked along a little while, and it says, and the people thirsted for water. And they began to murmur against Moses and said, wherefore has this man brought us out of Egypt, out here into this wilderness, to kill our children and our cattle with thirst? You know why? You know why they weren't satisfied with having the gospel and after everything they'd seen? They were wanting natural water. The Lord said, my people have committed two evils. And this is true of all God's elect children before He calls us and gives us grace and the water of life. They've committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's us by nature. Every one of us by nature. But secondly, Christ is that water. Christ is that fountain of living water. He's the source of all God's blessings to His people. He's that rock that was smitten by Moses in the wilderness. You know what that pictured? That pictured the law. That pictured justice. when Christ was made sin for his people. That pictured justice, the law. Moses there was a picture of the law. And him striking that rock is a picture of Christ bearing everything his children deserve as their sin bearer before God, as their substitute, so that now his children are justified. Justice is satisfied for his people. He's the righteousness of his people. And free forgiveness is there for his people. And we're accepted in the beloved through faith in him. Look over at Isaiah 32. And hold your place in Isaiah, because we'll be back here in just a moment. He's that God-man that's the living water, that's given freely to all those for whom Christ died. He's that one who covers us from the scorching heat of wrath and justice like a cloud that comes over and shades you in the middle of a dry, hot desert. Look at Isaiah 32 and look at verse 2. This is speaking of Christ. Well, let's begin in verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man, this is that God-man, this is Christ the Lord. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. God the Father, he's the fountain of life. He's the fountain of all blessings. Whatever God the Father chooses and purposes to come to pass, that's what's coming to pass. And he chose Christ, and he purposed that all blessings, all fullness, fullness of salvation, fullness of righteousness, fullness of sanctity, fullness of grace, fullness of truth, all should flow from this source. And that source is Christ his Son. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You ever drink from a creek, a spring, a natural spring? It's just clear and crystal and cold and good, and it just keeps coming out of the ground. It just keeps on coming. Well, this is what the description of the Lord Jesus is. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's the description of it. Now, some of us sitting here, we probably came here with our thirst well quenched this morning. We're not thirsty. But if you were really thirsty, if you're really thirsty, this is good news. Very good news. All fullness we have received, grace for grace from him. That's what every believer can say. When I was down in Tennessee this last time, my brother Bob Burrell down there, he had a big garden. And those plants were just dry as they could be. His corn was drying away. His tomatoes were drying up. All his beans and his peas. It hadn't rained there in a month, and they were having 100 degree plus temperatures for a month, and some of the weather we're just now getting, they were having then. And he had made him a little irrigation system and set him up a generator and was pumping water from a creek up and watering all his field, because those plants got to have water. That's us, brethren. That's a picture of us. Just like those plants out there under that scorching heat and that dry land and that dusty, dry earth, we got to have water. And that water's Christ, that gospel, that Spirit of God coming in and watering us. Well, so we see what we are by nature. We're just dry wells and empty clouds. And we see Christ as the fountain of living water. He's the living water. How then do we get that water? How does a sinner, a dry well, come to have that water? How do we get it? Well, just like God promises he would do. He said he's going to lead them to fountains of living water. And he causes his child, according to his having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, he promises he's going to make his child cross one of these wells of water. He's going to bring his child to where we can hear that gospel preached. Just like the Lord came to that woman at the well. She was there at Jacob's well, the Samaritan woman, and she was trying to get water out of that well. And she sat there and was telling him everything she knew about religion and everything about her and lying through her teeth. And he sat there and told her everything about her. He told her, you don't know who you worship. You've been married 5 times. The one you're with now is not your husband. And he just sat there and just revealed her sin in her. And he said, if you would have known who it is that's speaking with you, you'd have asked him, and I'd have given you living water. But he's going to make that, he's going to cross the path of his elect child. Just like he sent Philip down to that Ethiopian eunuch, just like he sent Paul to Lydia, he's going to cross the path. He's going to make us come to a well of living water where we're going to hear that gospel set forth. Because he said he would. He said, I'm going to lead them to fountains of living water. I'm going to do that, he said. And he's got the power to do it. And the Holy Spirit, when you begin to hear that gospel, he begins to make us to see Christ. He make us to start hearing him. You don't know what's happening at first, but you begin to have an interest. And you begin to say, I have an interest. And you find yourself become thirsty. And you know why? Because God won't let you go. God, the scripture says, the psalmist said, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. For before God fills us with water, he's going to dry up any moisture we thought we had. He's going to put his hand heavy on us, and he's going to not take it off of us until he's hedged us in and made us become a dry well to ourselves, made us see ourselves that way. And he makes us so thirsty when he does that. And then we begin to hear in this gospel what Christ is saying. And what Christ is saying through his word is this. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, he said, and drink. What I have to bring, no money. Well, I feel like I'm going to have to pay something. He said, not for price. He won't take a price. He won't take anything. He says, come to me, and he that believeth on me. He said, as the Scripture hath said. It's always as the Scripture hath said. It's exactly as God said in his word, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. How's that so? How does that happen? This word begins to become good news. We stop fighting against the preacher and fighting against the brethren and fighting against everybody and button like a goat. And we start listening, and we start hearing. And you know what the Scripture says about this good news of the gospel? Proverbs 25:25 says, as cold waters to a thirsty man, so is good news from a far country. And that's what we get in the gospel. We get good news from a far country. And it's like a cold water to a thirsty man. We start drinking it. The thirsty sinner finds himself believing Christ. We find ourselves crying out from the depths of our heart. Look, let's go to Psalms. I want you to see this. This is what happens. We start crying out. Look at Psalm 63. Let's go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. This is what you find happening. Psalm 42:1, as the hart, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You ever seen a dog panting? His old tongue just lolled out there and he's just thirsty. He said, well, like a deer does that. He said, verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Look at Psalm 63, verse 1. There's so many scriptures that describe this, give us this metaphor here of the gospel, of the Spirit of God, of Christ and His righteousness being like water. David was in a wilderness in Judah, and in Psalm 63:1 he cried out, O God, Thou art my God. Oh, that's when it's good news. When you find out, until God works this work of grace in the heart, God's not our God. But when He works this grace in our hearts, God becomes my God. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That's when you start thirsting after Him. You stretch, as He said over in another place, I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land. And God always makes good on His promise. He always makes good on His word. Look at Isaiah 35, back there in Isaiah. He always makes good on His word. This is what He says. He's working His word. That's why he makes good on it. It's just not that he gives his word and then you by chance happen to decide you get thirsty. And it's because God gives his word, tells you what he's going to do. And then he does it. And this is what he does. Isaiah 35:6. He talks about the eyes of the blind being opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame man leaps as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb begins to sing. For in the wilderness, that's what we are, in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. That's what he does. He gives us faith, and you know what we see? Revelation 22:1 says, I saw a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. We start seeing Christ is that water of life, that clear, pure, holy water of life. And for the first time, you know what happens? We stop boasting in ourselves. We stop bragging on ourselves. We stop commending ourselves. And we start bragging on God. We believe God and we trust Him and we start bragging on what He's done. And this too, God said we would do. Look at Isaiah 43:20. He said He would do this for His those that He's chosen. Look at Isaiah 43 and look at verse 20. He says, the beast of the field, He said, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, and the beast of the field shall honor Me. That's what He brings you and I to do, who are just old dumb beasts. That's what Peter called them in 2 Peter 2. He said, just natural beasts made to be taken and destroyed. He said, but now here the Lord said, when I've done this work, the beast of the field shall honor Me, the dragons and the owls, just those old worthless creatures. That's what we were. Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to My people, My chosen. This people I formed for Myself, they shall show forth My praise. And that's what He brings us to do. And He plants us in His heel. He says, I'm going to lead them to fountains of living waters. Ezekiel 34, He plants us in His heel where He's provided His well of water, where His cloud is steady, can't be carried away by a tempest, where that gospel flows like a water in a well and like from clouds above. And He keeps us this way. He keeps us watered. And He said He would. Look at Ezekiel 34 and look at verse 25. Let's look at verse 24. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and My servant David a prince among them. That prince is Christ. And He says, and I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. He subdues this old evil nature within us. In Ezekiel 34, verse 25, He says, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. He takes the fear of this land out of us. And He gives us the fear of God, so we trust Him, and we can sleep, we got rest. And He says, and I will make them and the places round about My heel a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in the season, and there shall be showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I've broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. That's what God does through this living water. That's what He does. And when we become troubled in this heel and we start wondering, well, is the Lord going to pour this water out on anybody? Is He going to do for anybody else, any other, His lost sheep, what He's done for us? The Lord says in Isaiah 44, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, I'll help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, My servant, thou Jeshurun whom I've chosen, for I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. And I'll pour My Spirit upon thy seed, and My blessing upon thine offspring, and they'll spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. You see what this beautiful picture of the water? And you know what He tells us to do? Wait on Him. Wait on the early and the latter rain, and ask Him. Let me read this to you out of Zechariah 10:1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. That's what he says he'll do. Has he done, has you who know him, everything he said he's done, has he done it? He's done it, hasn't he, for us? So everything he says he shall do, we expect he's going to do it, don't we? He's going to do it. But what's the purpose of a well full of water? The purpose of a well full of water, when the Lord gives you and I this understanding, this knowledge of our Redeemer, and this faith to believe him, to see his accomplished redemption for us, this grace that he's given to us, it's not just to fill us only. It's not just for us only. A well is given to dispense water. A well is given to so thirsty strangers coming along can drink of that well and drink of that water. A believer, that's what we're in this earth for. And the only ones really that can tell somebody how the flesh profits nothing is somebody that's been given the water of life, so that we know how truly in our flesh we're just dry, dust, death. That person can tell somebody about the necessity of needing Christ. Somebody that knows something about God's holiness and his justice and his righteousness that required him to send his own son in the likeness of our sinful flesh and to condemn sin in that flesh by laying down his life that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled. Somebody that's seen something of that, they can dispense this water to somebody. But a dry well can't do it. A dry well can talk about theories and he can tell you the letter of total depravity, but he don't know what it's like to be a dry well. He can tell you something about the necessity of irresistible grace, but he can't tell you about, he goes around boasting of his dryness and how he turned himself and how he gave himself water and how he kept himself watered, rather than being able to tell you about how I am just nothing but sand, except God turned me and give me this water. That message of particular redemption whereby Christ has justified his people and is calling them out one by one out of this earth, that's not good news to a dry, dusty vessel. He doesn't think it's fair. A life that adorns our doctrine, a walk that's consistent with the love of God, steadfastness in spreading his gospel throughout this dry desert world, these are ways that God uses his wells as he calls out his lost sheep. That's how he uses us. And remember this too. We had a well. The more you got water out of that well, the more water was in that well. You go back to it, take all the water out of it you want to. We got a well now. And so far, I hadn't run out of water. It just keeps on, when I take water out of it, more's in it. Well, there is he that scatters and yet increases. The scripture says, the Lord said, freely you have received, freely give. And you might think about it. Is it our substance? The Lord said, the cattle on a thousand hills are his. Is it our time? He said, your times are in my hand. is it our talents? He said, I gave them. What is it? I gave them. He replaces more than we ever dispense. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. He promises, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, I'll give them water. I'll keep giving them water. So here's the last word. There's some of you here, and you're a poor child of sin and dust and instability. You got no anchor. You're like a cloud carried about with a wind. Why do you doubt the sincerity of our God? Why doubt the sincerity of God who's spoken his word? We're here as witnesses telling you what we know, what we have seen, what we have experienced by his grace. And we know this. Everything that God has said he shall do, he has done for us sitting here. And we're telling you, you stand here looking at a dry well in myself. You're standing here looking at a somebody that has no more strength and stability in me than a cloud carried with the wind. But by that water that he's given, and by that anchoring me and making me no more tossed to and fro, he's done this work. He has done it, and he continues to do it. Now, our text back there talked about the mist of darkness reserved for those that go out of this world without ever bowing to the Lord Jesus and submitting to him. Hell is reserved, and it'll be this. It'll be flamed by passions that will never be satisfied, desires that will never be answered, a consciousness of everything that you could have had freely, but you refused it for about 70 or 80 years of just dry dust. Everything we thought would be was a oasis turned out to be a mirage. And the scripture describes the man in hell as crying and asking, say, send someone that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. That's reserved for those who perish in unbelief. Reserved for false teachers and particularly. But what's the price of this water? It's free. It's absolutely free. You can't get water free anymore unless it's bad water. And some of the water you got to pay for now is not good water. Water's not free anymore. This water's free. What is the catch in it? There is no catch. No catch at all. You can offer God nothing, and you can't add anything to Him. But He can give you everything. He can give you everything. Life eternal. What do I have to possess to come to get this water? There's one thing you got to have this water. Just one thing. You got to be thirsty. That's it. You got to be thirsty. And God gives it to you. Absolutely free. Well, if you die, it won't be because God withheld anything from you. It'll be because you withheld everything from yourself. But brethren, we give all glory to God. And here's why. All of His children, by His grace, by the perfect redemption accomplished by Christ, by the full work of salvation wrought on our behalf, by the Holy Spirit entering in and making us alive, through this glorious, cool water called the gospel of His free and sovereign grace, God has come to us and He's made us wells of living water. He's made us fertile lands showered with blessings from above. Showers of blessings rain down upon us from our Father above. So let's not be children cared about, but rooted and grounded in Christ. Drink this water. Drink it daily. Drink it up. They say water's the best thing for you. We need this water. It's the best thing for us. Best thing for us. He's promised to us that He has an inheritance that's reserved in heaven, ready to be revealed in the last time. If you came here thirsty, I hope you've enjoyed a cool, cold drink of water from this fountain this morning. From Christ our fountain. It's hard talking about this. I've been sitting here talking about this morning. My mouth's watering. It is. Just naturally, it makes you thirst to talk about water. Does it make you thirst spiritually? I hope so. I hope if you did come thirsty, I hope your thirst has been quenched somewhat. Is it raining in your heart? That's what God does. He pours out showers of blessing on His people. Doesn't He? All right.